Blog Talk Radio.
You know that sound? You know what that sound is? It's the start of another beautiful day. Blog Talk Radio, talking sports and talk, man. You know how it goes. It's your boy, Dre, Andre Peterson. Also, I don't even know what Rob's nickname is. We got to give you a nickname, Rob. Do you have a nickname, sir?
The ultimate Robin, winner.
The ultimate winner. See, he had to think about that. But it's another beautiful Wednesday evening. Thank you guys for tuning in. As mentioned, this is Talking Sports with the 12th Man. You got your host once again covered. Today is Wednesday the 21st, and we have a lot of stuff to talk about as always. So without further ado, let's give them the numbers. If you want to call in, text, all that jazz, the guest call-in number as always is 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9515. But, Rob, man, what a very exciting weekend for football.
Yeah.
Go ahead and dive into that. I wouldn't be remiss if we always got to talk about big things that happened. And just for those that are boxing fans, hopefully you had a chance to watch a great fight between Floyd Mayweather and Victor Ortiz. Obviously, Mayweather won without some controversy, but, you know, it's just always interesting to see how that plays out. So if you're a fight fan, you know, as always, I was a fight fan back whenever Mike Tyson was fighting it, and Lennox Lewis and then Vander Holyfield. But, you know, just mentioned that very interesting, very controversial as fights are. But that's it. I digress. Back to football, sir. Go ahead, Rob. If you want to start the show off, if you will.
Well, we can start off, you know, with the first 15 minutes kind of recapping college football and NFL from this past weekend and end it with the last 15 minutes previewing this coming weekend of college football and pro football. So I guess we can kind of, you know, I don't know if you want to get started with a little college or a pro, but if we want to recap this past weekend. And, well, maybe we can start with a little college. The two big matchups was, of course, LSU, Mississippi State, and Oklahoma and Florida State. Of course, Oklahoma and Florida State being the big matchup. And last week on the show, I predicted an upset of Florida State. Obviously, that didn't happen. And Oklahoma, I must admit, is very deserving of the number one ranking. They look pretty strong. Yeah, and both sides of the ball and definitely have the quarterback play. And maybe if E.J. Manuel wouldn't have gotten hurt, it might have been, Florida State might have still had a chance. But Oklahoma in the end was just a little bit too strong, a little bit more talented.
Yeah, like you said, they definitely are deserving, as you mentioned, of being in the number one spot. But, you know, like I said, you know, you and I both were kind of pulled for a fourth. We predicted that. And, you know, like you said, E.J. Manuel got hurt, kind of changed the dynamics of the game. And it was a very close game, but, you know, obviously they pulled away near the end. But, you know, like I said, you got to give credit to Bob Stoops right now. He's calling the right plays, if you will, making the right moves. And Oklahoma definitely looks strong, and we'll see how everything plays out near the end of the season, that they're definitely going to be contending for the national championship. I had a question for you. I know there's a lot of things going on. Maybe we can spend a little bit of time on this as well. I don't know if you've been keeping up with what's been going on as far as a lot of the new schools joining the conferences. And, you know, you heard about Syracuse joining the ACC, if you will. And I know there's some rumors about Texas joining as well. Do you want to talk a little bit about that as well, or anything that you've been hearing about that, or what?
Yes. Well, it's kind of all started with Texas A&M. It seemed like they were the school that kind of kick-started all of this with the conferences and, you know, decided that the Big 12 was a little bit unstable for them and kind of behind the scenes was working through some channels or trying to get into the SEC, and it looks like Texas A&M will be in the SEC next year. So the SEC will jump from 12 to 13 teams, and I think that's a given. And I guess the other given is Pittsburgh and Syracuse moving to the ACC to make that a 14-team league. I think those are the two givens as we know it right now. There are still a lot of question marks out there. It looks like the Pac-12 has decided to stay with 12 teams, and they will not be adding Texas, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, or Texas Tech. And now the Big 12 is trying to fight for survival. And the latest rumors are that they are trying to stay on as a conference. And I know there was another rumor last night that now Missouri may even look to go to the SEC and make the SEC a 14-team league. But, you know, I know the Big 12 is fighting as we speak to stay as a conference, and I'm sure if that's the case, they're going to try to fight to keep Missouri in the Big 12. So I think a lot of it is just going to depend on what happens with this Big 12 conference. You know, right now, as we know it, next year they're going to be a 9-team league because Texas A&M will be leaving. And I know there's a lot of talk of them possibly want to go after BYU now to make it a 10-team league, and even some talk about adding TCU and Houston to even get it back to 12 teams. So, you know, they're fighting right now, scrambling, trying to survive as a conference, and we'll just kind of have to wait and see, you know, what kind of shakes out with all the realignment that's kind of taking place.
If you're a fan, I mean, are you happy about this, or are you kind of upset about everything that's going on? I mean, you talk about the word super conference, if you will, but seriously, you know, how can – I'm kind of concerned as far as how can teams can just jump and say, hey, I want to become part of the SEC, or hey, you know, it's kind of interesting how this is happening so quickly, if you will.
Well, yeah, like I said, it's kind of all kick-started with Texas A&M and the Big 12. I think the Big 12 is kind of unstable, to whereas everyone in the Big 12 does not receive equal revenue sharing. And if you're in the SEC, a school like LSU they get the same amount of money as Vanderbilt. And Vanderbilt, as you know, it has not historically been a football power. But they receive the same amount of money as LSU and Alabama does. And that's the kind of stability that teams in the Big 12 want. And teams in the Big 12, Texas is getting so much more money than the Baylors, the Kansas States in that conference. There's no equal revenue sharing. So that's the issue here with the Big 12. And, you know, conferences like the SEC and the ACC, you know, every team in the conference is getting the same amount of money, including the Big Ten. The Big Ten is structured the same way. The Pac-12 is structured the same way. The Big 12 is not. And that's why there's so many – and that's one of the main reasons why Texas A&M wanted out. They did not – they felt like that Texas had unfair advantages than they did when it came down to recruiting and things of that nature, you know, because of the revenue issues and things like that. So that's like I said, Vanderbilt gets the same amount of money as the Florida, the Alabama, the Georgias, the LSUs, and they're even though they're not putting out the same kind of football program, but they're still getting the same kind of payday.
That's interesting that you said that too. I mean, like I said, it definitely makes sense because you know, if you are kind of like the king of the league, then you know, then somebody like Vanderbilt, I'm sure that's definitely something that you're like, hey, that's not right. But you know. That's just kind of how it plays out, and everyone keeps blaming Notre Dame as well as far as not doing a good job, because if they would have stabilized the Big East, if they would have stayed and not have been independent and not taken all that TV revenue, they would have probably kept the Big East together. So, you know, sorry for all my Notre Dame fans out there, but that's kind of what you're hearing as well. So, interesting to. As far as what's going on, and I really appreciate you breaking it down like that.
Oh, no problem at all. No problem at all. And maybe a couple of more college games to recap before we recap a couple of the programs. From this, you know, of course, we've got to talk about LSU and Mississippi State, and I'm sure we want to recap a little bit about Georgia Tech with the blowout win over Kansas, too. And a little bit about the LSU game. Not going to say a whole lot about it. I would just say looks like LSU might just have a dominating defense. I don't know what you think about that, but They look pretty dominant on that side of the football, and just hope that we get enough quarterback play to really have a chance to contend, you know, for an opportunity for a national championship. But, you know, it looks like LSU has a pretty dominating defense, and, you know, Mississippi State was averaging close to 400 yards rushing the game, and LSU just pretty much just shut that down and held them to 6 points. And I know I'm an LSU fan, but I have to say I was impressed with the defense.
LSU is strong. Go ahead. I'll just finish up. Go ahead. Keep going.
No. That's pretty much all I have to say. And, you know, if you want to comment on that, or we can move on to the Georgia Tech game.
I appreciate you, Rob, doing a good job as far as bringing balance to the force here. I mean, like I said, if you're LSU, and a lot of the commentators, even watching that Mississippi State game, they're commenting that it seems like LSU is becoming like defensive tackle U or whatever, because they just keep getting guys after guys that are coming in, and that defense definitely is really, really dominant. So, you know, at this juncture, even though they're kind of young, as you mentioned, they just keep bringing in talent after talent, and it's just going to be a challenge for, I know I keep saying that, for any team that's going to come and play you guys. You know, obviously, you keep having a good running game. Jared Lee is doing a great job as far as just managing the game, if you will. So I don't know, are you guys missing Jordan Jefferson at this juncture? But it's just really interesting to see how you guys are progressing. And like you said, that collision course for the SEC championship for you guys, as well as even the national championship, definitely could be in your grasp. So it's going to be interesting to see how everything plays out.
Yes. Yeah, Jared Lee, like I said, is doing enough for the team to win. Obviously, I think there's a place for Jordan Jefferson if and then when he gets reinstated. You know, there are some things that he can do that Jared Lee definitely cannot do. So I think he can add another dimension to the team. But right now, I think Jared Lee is doing enough, and he's not making any mistakes. So that's key.
Gotcha.
I tell you, Georgia Tech moving in the top 25, and they kind of looking pretty explosive on offense, huh?
Yeah, and Robert set that up beautifully. At this juncture before, Georgia Tech fans were pretty scared about going into the season with the Tevin Washington because we weren't really sure how he was going to progress. Josh Nesbitt was just a warrior running the that triple option spread, whatever you want to call it, attack. And, obviously he had a problem, and, his problem was passing. So, we were concerned about getting recruits for receivers and whatnot, but we were able to kind of do some things, if you will. And now to see Tevin Washington kind of get behind and just kind of throw the ball, it definitely brings some, for us, we're very exciting because, that game against Kansas, we were waiting for that. That's kind of like we were kind of waiting to strike for them for payback for last year because we were ranked number 15th last year. And for us to get beat, that kind of like messed up our season and, we kind of went on a little losing streak, if you will. But having that passing element definitely add something. We got a big test this weekend versus North Carolina, start of the ACC conference play, if you will. But as mentioned, I'm very cautiously optimistic as far as our chances and us being ranked. Like I said, we'll hopefully we're going to play better and we'll keep that streak going. The defense is still growing under Al Groh, so a lot of positivity with Georgia Tech, and we'll see how that plays out definitely in the future.
And I guess we can move on to a little recap from the NFL this past weekend. I know you were in tune to the Michael Vick returning to Atlanta. I know that was one of the marquee matchups of this past weekend. And I know for yourself, being a Falcon fan, you have to be thrilled with that victory. And I know it was a lot of excitement, with that game. And I read something really interesting about the ratings from the Falcons and the Eagles game Sunday night. Of course, the highest rated market that tuned into that game, of course, number one, Atlanta. Usually you figure the two teams, the two cities that's involved are always going to be the two highest rated markets. So, of course, Atlanta was the highest rated market that tuned into that game. Philadelphia was the number two highest rated market that tuned into that game. And believe it or not, the third highest rated market that tuned into that game was New Orleans. In the country. So obviously Saints fans are in tune to seeing what kind of team the Falcons have. So I thought that was extremely interesting. And New Orleans was the third highest rated market in the country that tuned into that game on Sunday night. And I was in that number as well.
You know, like I said, soccer fans, we definitely appreciate you guys watching good football. First and foremost, before I dive into the Falcons and Michael Vick, we got about 14 minutes or so to talk about that. I gotta say, we definitely did a good job of softening up the Chicago Bears for you guys. Thanks for whipping them up, by the way. You guys kind of treated Jay Cutler like you guys, treated. Treated Brett Favre, man. He didn't want any more part of playing with you guys. You guys were sacking and hitting him so much. I'm sure he was like, I can't wait to get out of here. But serious note, what a great game for the Saints. You guys played phenomenal, and we're still kind of nervous because I think it does depend on matchups, if you will. Certain teams match up well with certain teams. I was watching that game too because I was concerned to see. I was very interested to see if the Bears are going to be able to stop you guys offensively, and they weren't. I don't think that's what the fact. I think they match up well with the Packers and whatnot. And as you know, whenever we get together, whenever the Falcons and Saints get together, it's kind of matchup things too. We stop each other and vice versa too. So I just think it was interesting to see the NFC South play very well. All teams were. Got wins the past weekend, so except for the Panthers, that is. But, definitely a good game, and I don't know if you would just want to comment on that real quick before I jump into the Falcons, because that'll take a good 3 minutes of the conversation here. But good win by the Saints, and we had to warm them up for you, if you will.
Well, we certainly appreciate you guys warming them up for us. And, I think it was a solid, definitely a solid win for the Saints. Obviously, a marked improvement on defense, but, obviously the Bears don't have the offense that Green Bay has. Green Bay is prolific offense. The Saints had a little trouble stopping in week one. But even though we play the Bears, a team that does not have as good of an offense as Green Bay, I still saw some marked improvement from the Saints. But the Saints get another big test with the defense. On one of our preseason shows, I predicted that the Houston Texans was going to win the AFC South this year. I don't know if you recall that.
And
so far, my prediction is looking pretty good. I think that's another big test for the Saints this weekend because I think the Houston Texans are a real sleeper team this year that could. I think it's a team that can even go as far as the AFC Championship game. I think offensively they're that good. So, I think we get another big test by the Saints defense this week. And hopefully they can live up to the challenge of facing a team like Houston. And we're getting them at home. I think that's another big test for the Saints this weekend. And even getting into the Falcons game, I pretty much watched that entire game as well. And I know it was back and forth, nip and tuck, and a lot of energy in that football. It was one of those kind of games that a casual fan can enjoy, even if you weren't a fan of either one of those teams. I think once Atlanta kind of settled down and got Michael Turner back in the game, it seems as though that's kind of helped catapult the Falcons in the end over the Eagles.
Yeah, I think it was very interesting, too. And we got a quick call in here as well, so let me go ahead and do this first one to call in and see if they have anything to say as well. Hello, caller. You're on the air. Thank you for calling the 12th Man, Rob Ford. Go ahead.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing great.
How about you?
Pretty good. I got three things on my mind. You guys have been talking about the college football expansion, and then you mentioned Mayweather, Ortiz, and then obviously been talking about NFL. I've got questions for all three, whatever you guys want to talk about next.
Go ahead and open it up, man.
Go ahead. Go ahead and start with your number one question.
Let's see. Well, for college football, I guess that's the thing that's on top of my mind the most. I'm excited with what's coming up, mostly because I think with all the expansion, I think it's getting us closer and closer to a playoff.
Okay.
I think eventually if it gets to three or four super conferences of 16 teams, I guess preferably four, it would sort of turn into a de facto 8-team playoff where you have, if you have the four conference championships, you take those four conference champions and they can each play each other. Yeah, that's the other thing, because even with four super conferences, you're still going to leave out teams.
Exactly.
And especially if Notre Dame stays independent, if Texas ends up independent, if Boise State can't get into one of these conferences. That's where I think it really, you had mentioned earlier that it all started with A&M going to the SEC, but I think where it really started was Texas with their Longhorn network.
Exactly.
I think that really, that really burnt a lot of the Big 12 teams. And then you had Colorado leave, you had Nebraska leave. And I think
the split revenue issue in the Big 12 was huge.
Definitely.
Then at Longhorn Network, Texas is just getting so much more money than the rest of the teams in the conference. That's huge. But I totally agree with you with the playoff system. I think we will get closer to a playoff and football system once we get to this mega three or four conferences.
Yeah.
And if that happens, you're probably looking at a huge ACC, a huge SEC, a huge Big Ten, and a huge Big 12. Those would probably be the four big conferences. What part of the country are you in?
I'm in the Southeast. I'm in Atlanta. I'm a Gator fan, but I think the Big 12 really dropped the ball when they saw. I mean, I don't know if everyone saw the fallout coming with the Longhorn Network, but I think they really dropped the ball when Colorado and Nebraska left. I think they should immediately have been proactive, went and grabbed Boise State, went and grabbed TCU and a couple other teams to immediately get back up to 12 teams at least.
Exactly.
And then they'd be in a much better position because now you're looking at they have nine teams now, or actually I guess eight if Missouri is going to the SEC, which I've been hearing. And who are they going to – they're going to grab, what, Houston and BYU? That's just not sexy enough. And you got TCU.
No.
Let's not even get into the whole geography of it.
Not geography.
TCU. TCU's in the Big East. Like, it just doesn't – I mean, I know it is what it is, and it's all about the money, but it just makes – absolutely no sense. You got a Texas school that's not even on the east coast of Texas in the Big East. it doesn't make any sense. But I think the Big 12 really dropped the ball. I hope they can still be. I guess Texas and Oklahoma sort of doubled down today, saying that they want to make the Big 12 work. But I just don't know who they're going to grab to get. Especially if everyone's going to get up to, they're going to have to grab eight more teams. They're going to be
if
so
they want
top
to get back up to mega conference status. Yes.
Exactly. I don't know. Hopefully they can make it happen. Like I said, I'm an SEC fan, but I don't want to see the Big 12 just dissolve in front of our eyes. But I don't know. I don't know where that leads us.
So you're a Gator fan. What kind of team do you think the Gators are going to have this season?
I don't know. I'm a little. I mean, the first two games meant nothing. I mean, they played, Florida Atlantic and. I can't even remember the other team they played now. The Tennessee game, that was pretty impressive, but who knows how good Tennessee is. I've been telling all my friends that they need to not get their hopes up about the Alabama game because I think that's going to be ugly. I think when it gets down to it and the bright lights show up, I don't think they're going to be able to hang with Alabama. But I think the future is looking a little better with Muschamp and – I don't know how long Weiss is going to stay there, but the offense definitely has more of an identity than last year.
Yeah,
they didn't do a whole lot last year.
Yeah, it's more suited for John Brantley. I'll say that. The spread offense that Urban Meyer runs is definitely not suited for John Brantley. John Brantley is more of a pro style quarterback, And so I think it's definitely better suited with Charlie Weiss running the offense for John Brantley. So I think that's a benefit for Brantley. And he might, you know, if he can have some kind of success at the quarterback position for them, I think he can have a shot at possibly getting drafted or, you know, or sign on as an undrafted free agent with the team. But I think it's definitely going to help him to have an opportunity to have a shot in the NFL as well.
He'll be a good third stringer for years to come.
Yes.
And I just realized that this is Jeff, man. It's good to hear from you, Jeff, man. I'm glad.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Definitely, that's great. Gosh, got your text. That's great. But you know, and Jeff being a good Florida fan, he's a good guy too. So you know, we talked about this a little bit at work too, as far as you know, Brantley fitting that style and Charlie Weiss coming in there and doing what he has to do. So you know, I definitely think that you know, with Charlie Weiss kind of guiding him, hopefully he won't be a bust like his Charlie Weiss's last quarterbacks, but. You know, you guys are going to definitely, you're not going to be like you were last year, definitely. So,
Authority.
Go ahead with
the SEC East division is still up for grabs. I mean, I know you're going to have a big matchup with South Carolina, and you still have to play Georgia, but I think those are going to be some key matchups. Georgia, the one benefit that they have this year, they don't have to play Alabama, LSU, or Arkansas. So the schedule kind of, even though they lost to South Carolina, they still have a very, by SEC standards, Georgia has a weak schedule this year.
Very easy schedule for them, So if you guys can knock them out, you know, hopefully, I don't know if it's going to be any win versus them is going to be good because it's another SEC school. But, it's going to be interesting to see how that's why Mark Rich's job's on the line, too, because he's supposed to do some definite damage this year. So, you know.
Yeah.
We'll see, you know. But we got about 3 minutes real quick. I know you're going to finish your last point, Rob, and then we'll let Jeff finish up, too, because we got about, like I said, 3 minutes left on the show. But go ahead, Rob. I'll let you finish your last point, if you will.
Oh, Jeff, you had any other questions?
No, you can go ahead. I don't want to hijack the show.
Okay. Well, I know we were – I know we were in a little bit of a mist of the getting into the I know Andre was maybe going to make a comment about the Falcons-Eagles game on Sunday night. I don't know if you got a chance to give your thoughts on the game.
Man, we got lucky. That's all I got to say. We got lucky whenever Michael Vick got injured there because, you know, talk about it. It was a good game back and forth. See us and to see man, Sam Bicks getting dominated by a Trent Cole in that wide nine technique. We're a little nervous there, but you know, I hate to say it's rather to be lucky than good at this juncture. But you know, we definitely pulled it out, and I don't know, fellas, definitely good to see Michael Turner do some running, and I guess the weak point about the Eagles definitely has to be their linebacking crew because. You know, Tony Gonzalez had a big day, if you will, and, you know, those corners are pretty tight. The defensive line is pretty tight, pretty on point, and, you know, that's their only weakness. And, you know, Philadelphia is still up there, so you definitely got to get some props.
No doubt.
So it's definitely been an interesting thing. Man,
We got a couple of real big college football games this weekend. I'll get you guys predictions real quick. Oklahoma State at Texas A&M.
Woo, Oklahoma State for me.
Me too. I agree.
I'm going to go with Texas A&M. Arkansas at Alabama.
what was it?
Arkansas at Alabama.
Woo. Good, Jeff.
The Bama defense, I think, will I think if it was still Mallett, I would go with maybe Arkansas, but that Alabama defense can be too much for Arkansas.
Yeah, wow, that's a toss-up, Rob. Go ahead, Rob.
I'm going with Alabama. Alabama, the home team, and I agree with Jeff. The defense is going to be Arkansas is too one-dimensional. They're a throwing team. They lost Nile Davis. No running game. LSU at West Virginia.
Woo-hoo! LSU for me, obviously.
Me too. Yeah, I can't. I mean,
I know I'm an LSU fan, but I'm gonna go with LSU as well.
I agree.
Another top 25 matchup: Florida State at Clemson.
Oh. I'm gonna go.
You gotta go, Andre.
Well, I'm gonna go Clemson only because I'm not sure what's EJ Manuel's status. Is he still 50-50 on that, Rob? Do we hear?
Yeah, I'm going with Clemson for the same reason. Not sure if EJ Manuel is gonna play.
Is it at Clemson?
Yes, exactly.
I want to say it is. Yep, at Clemson. It is.
Man. They looked really impressive against Auburn. I agree with both of you. If EJ is out, then I would definitely go Clemson. If not, I could see FSU rebounding, but if he's hurt, I don't see them being able to overcome Clemson's offense.
Yeah,
good stuff. Well, man, as mentioned, we're always at the end of the show, man. But Jeff, man, we definitely appreciate you calling in, man. Definitely call us in next week, man. We may have a little 3-man show here. I definitely appreciate your input and stuff like that. As always, we just have fun, kind of recapping things that happened throughout the week. And if we have enough time, we'll talk about different things and different subjects and stuff like that. But definitely good to hear from you and get some feedback.
Yeah.
But as always. Next week, you're a Giants fan, right? Did I get that right?
Yes.
As far as the NFL?
For the NFL.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you guys got a big game coming up with the Philadelphia Eagles. Any thoughts about this real quick, or what, man? Besides
yeah, don't
the answer coming
me.
Out.
I selfishly hope that Vic is out, but not that I want him to be hurt. But I think the Giants have no chance if he's healthy. But we'll see. Yeah, I won't even bring up the Falcons game again, but I hope he's healthy for the rest of the season, but I hope he's I hope they take him out this week just to be safe.
Well, you're taking a different opinion than the guys. Everyone wants Vic, apparently, like Justin Tuck, intro role. You know, they said we pretty much want Vic, you know. So
they're saying that. They're being macho, but when he breaks out of that pocket, they're not gonna wanna be chasing. They'd much rather chase who's the kid from Northwestern? They'd much rather chase him than Vic, I guarantee you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Cap.
Well, I think as
like
a competitor, you always want to go against the team's best.
That's
and
true.
I think that's kind of where those guys are coming from. Mm-hmm.
That's true. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you guys,
as
you
a
guys
fan,
have you guys have had an interesting comeback, too, because I know you guys have been, unfortunately, had a lot of injuries with your secondary.
Yes, yes.
And you know, I've got Brandon Jacobs on my fantasy team, too. So I'm like, all right, you know, do some damage there. But, you know, I'm not really sure what the deal is with the Giants as far as, you know, they don't really look like they have a identity as well because they've had that dominant defensive line. And I'm not sure what's going on with you guys, man. So, you know, Eli getting, you know, ripped as always. But
Yeah,
I don't know. As mentioned, you know, I mean, I'm not talking about you guys because everyone has issues right about now. But you know, and it's early in the season, so you still have no time. But go ahead. I'll let you finish up on that. Yeah.
No, that's true. He just he's still two or three times a game, but he still throws those horrible passes like that interception he threw in the first quarter. But overall, I mean, he's a solid quarterback. But as far as their identity, I think they're pretty. They're pretty solid. They're pretty half and half, run and pass. But like you said, the injuries, they lost, I think, they're two of their best cornerbacks. And then Hickson makes that unbelievable catch for the touchdown, but then he blew out his knee for the second time. So he's done for the season. But, but every team has to deal with injuries. I mean, it is what it is. You can't blame anything on that. But hopefully they don't have anything. I mean, if Bradshaw or Knicks or someone like that goes down for the season, that's going to be might as well pack it up.
Pack it up and call it a day. Who is your backup quarterback, by the way, real quick? Who's the backup quarterback, real quick, Jeff, for the Giants?
Oh, boy.
Is it David Carr still?
I think you're right.
Still David Carr, yeah.
I think they had Jared Lorenzen a couple of years ago, the Kentucky guy, the 300-pound quarterback.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think you're right, David Carr, so.
Wow,
yeah.
Okay.
Hopefully, Eli stays healthy.
I was just seeing what happened, just in case you're kind of with, if anything ever happens, if he got hurt, you know. So here comes David Carr.
I know the Redskins are 2-0, but I still kind of feel like the Eagles and Giants both will wind up ahead of the Redskins and Cowboys in that division, even though the Redskins have gotten off the 2-0 start.
Yeah.
And, and Rex Grossman made the bold prediction that they will win the NFC East. So I still don't believe that.
Yeah, I've got a soft spot in my heart for Grossman because he's a Gator, but I don't see it lasting. And I hate the Cowboys, but for some reason, I love Romo. I root for Romo whenever I see him. He just seems so genuine and so real. So I hope if he could stay healthy or be healthy and stay healthy, I think the Cowboys are maybe a better team than the Giants. I think it's the Cowboys and Eagles for the conference. But he's got a punctured lung and a couple fractured ribs. That's pretty serious for a quarterback. So I don't know. We'll have to see how that turns out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow, Romo. Yeah. Jeff loves Romo. You know, I've got him as everything that I say has to equate to fantasy football. I don't know why. No, but I've got Romo once again. And it's interesting because, you know, if you listen to a lot of Cowboys fans, they feel that Romo is the X factor of why they're not winning. So it's kind of one of those situations where, okay, you know, what have you done for me lately, especially if you were a big fan, and then you see him go down and John Kitna comes in there and you're like, oh my gosh, what just happened?
Exactly.
And then now he's back and, you know, he kind of rides the ship. But it's kind of a make or break year for Romo, I definitely believe, because, you know, he's got to step up and do something, you know. So,
But what they're saying is Romo doesn't step up big in the clutch.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're calling him the LeBron James in the NFL.
Oh, poor LeBron. Poor LeBron.
I
like LeBron too.
So do I. Right, go ahead, Rob. That's messed up.
Yeah, that's the new thing
right
I was just saying about Romo. He can't close out games. Can't close out big games. He doesn't do it in the clutch. But, you know, I guess, you know, he and LeBron both is going to prove a lot of people wrong in that department.
Yeah, I hope they both do. I like both of them, but they got to do it. Yeah, they got to do it.
Wow. Well, good deal.
Well, thank you guys.
I
was going to say thank you guys for letting me be on the show. I appreciate it.
Oh,
yeah,
no problem. Enjoy having
you. It was a pleasure, man. Yeah, like I said, we'll have to feel free to call in, and then if you ever want to start making it a habit, man, we definitely appreciate the interaction and another voice, if you will. To balance everything out. But, we had a great time. Like I said, we are here every Wednesday. We try to get up. And I know it's kind of late at 11, but that's the only time that I can schedule some time, too, until we hit it big, Jeff. So there you go.
All right. I do have to find out. I do have to ask this one question to Jeff. How, I'm a Saints and LSU fan, and Andre is a Georgia Tech and Falcon fan. And you are a Gator and Giant fan. I'm trying to see how you got to that.
Yeah, that's a strange combo. I was born.
Yeah.
I was born in Sarasota, Florida, which has nothing. But I moved to Gainesville when I was 5 years old. So I grew up. I lived in Gainesville for 20 years before moving to Atlanta. So everything in Gainesville is Gators.
You Gators. I totally understand that.
And then around 85, 86, 87 is when I first really noticed sports, and it was when the Giants with Lawrence Taylor and Phil Sims and Joe Moore.
Yeah, 85 Super Bowl
Mets,
team, yeah.
Yeah, and then the Mets with Gary Carter and Dwight Gooden and Daryl Strawberry. So I was always just the Giants and the Mets fan, and just sort of. And then I'm a Hawks fan. I've been a Hawks fan since I was a kid with Dominique and Spud Webb. So
wow,
I'm sort of a Gator Hawks Mets Giants hybrid.
So you didn't pick up the Buccaneers growing up in Sarasota and Gainesville, huh?
Yeah, those jerseys. That was plus they were going 2-14 every single year.
With the bright orange, huh?
With Vinny Testaverde, yeah. I root for him now. Sort of. I mean, I'm sort of like a Falcons fan now with everything they've gone through, and I still root for Vic, but I'm a Falcons fan now. To second to the Giants, but I'm all over the place. I try to cover all my bases, so at least I can say one of my teams won. But, yeah, I know it's a weird mixture.
Gotcha.
All right. Well, thank you, man, for having me on the show. I'll call again for sure.
Definitely, Jeff. Well, have a good one, man. We'll be in touch soon, man. And like I said, don't be a stranger, man. I'll hit you up on Facebook, and we got to keep track of everything that's going on your side with work-wise and stuff like that, okay?
Definitely. And we need to talk about Mayweather next time. We'll talk about a little boxing, a little MMA.
Yeah. Well, definitely, by the way, Rob, Jeff is a big MMA guy. Loves that.
Okay.
And like I said, it's tough because, you know, we try to fit, you know, stuff that talk, you know, we try to fit enough stuff in because we only have 30 minutes, so we try to spend a lot of topics. But, yeah, we'll definitely talk more and definitely get your perspective because, you know, I kind of started the show with that. But good stuff, definitely.
Yeah. All right, sounds good. You guys have a good night.
All right, you too.
Okay,
well,
good night, Jeff.
Thanks, sir.
Bye, guys. All right,
so we are wrapping up the show as always, man. What a great segment. Thank you for Jeff Camp calling in. As mentioned, the number he called in was for, I can't even find the number here. Was it?
Are we still
man,
on?
Dropped up. Yeah, we're not on, but I'm just kind of pitching up the show just for future reference here. But
yeah.
That was cool. What you think about that?
Oh yeah, it was cool.
yeah, Jeff. I worked with him at Comcast, and you know, big
cool.
Florida Gator fan.
At first, I thought it was just somebody that found us online. I didn't even know it was a friend of yours.
I was trying to figure out the voice. But I was like, it sounds like Dylan, like the guy that I DJ with. But then it also was like, it sounds like Dylan. But then he started talking about Gators, and I know Dylan goes to school at the University of Georgia. So I was like, he can't be a Florida fan going to the University of Georgia. And then he actually sent me a post via, you know, Facebook. He's like, hey, I'll be calling in. So it took me a while to figure out who he was. I'm like, oh, that's Jeff, you know. So, you know, great voice for radio, obviously. And, you know, he had some good stuff. And, you know, so anytime people join in and call, that just it expounds the network and makes it definitely more interesting. So, you know, there we go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good deal.
Well, cool
good
beans,
deal,
man. Enjoy it as always.
Yeah, man. Like I said, we keep getting better and better each show, man. So hopefully, we'll do some things. I know I enjoy it a lot, man. So I definitely appreciate you giving me the call as far as what we're going to talk about and you know, little things like that too. So it's always fun, man. So I appreciate having a partner in crime to do it with.
No problem, Doc. We got to do it again.
Yes, sir. All right. Next week will be fun. And like I said, I'm sure Jeff knows a lot of people for Florida 2 Minutes, and we'll start getting some traction. I would imagine we'll start getting some traction with some callers. So, you know,
okay,
we'll see
cool.
how that plays out. Yeah, good deal. The show is officially on, but it's got 2 minutes, so it'll probably cut us off. But, yeah, have a good one, man. We'll talk next week, as always.
All right, Chief. We'll be in touch soon.
All right, Chief. All right, Chief. Have a good evening. All right.
You too. All right.